the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Just a few days before, Jesus instructed the disciples to go into the upper room and wait until they were endued with power, they displayed great weakness with mixed emotions, accompanied with a great lack of confidence. I am certain they had intense worry in those days, wondering what was going to happen. Right before the crucifixion, Peter was asked if he knew Jesus, and he emphatically denied knowing him, and even cursed. As night compared to day, this situation changed immediately in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came upon that little group of believers in the form of cloven tongues of fire. It was as though actually someone took over their very beings. Their character completely changed from cowards to ones with confidence and strength. They were speaking supernaturally in other tongues. They knew exactly who they were and who Jesus is. The scriptures exploded within them as they told the people where this anointing was coming from. Many thought they were drunk, but soon witnessed otherwise. Peter spoke, and 3,000 people were converted to Christ. Let's read Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice they were all waiting and praying in one accord. Not like we have today with all the walls of partition and every man his own interpreter. They had one interpretation, and that was the presence of God Himself revealing Himself in the form of the Holy Ghost. That is what the church is lacking today. Too much emphasis is put on getting people to church and how they interpret the word. We need to get the people to Christ. When they get the genuine baptism of fire, we will all be in one accord. People hearing all the noise and tongues in their own language were amazed. Let's read Acts 2, verses 6 through 21. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on mine handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What he did for them, he will do for you. It is too late for someone to tell me that this was only for the times past, as many have experienced the same Holy Ghost baptism and fire in this day. Zechariah 14:7. But it shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. It doesn't take much of an observation to realize we are in the evening time. Even the world testifies of the end being near. To the non-believer, this is a very difficult and frightening time that can only be temporarily masked with drugs and alcohol, but it is the greatest time for believers. The prophets of old wished they could have seen this day. We are pilgrims and strangers in this land, longing to go home to our real home. the one where we will never grow old, no more pain, no more suffering. We will live eternally with the one who first loved us. He drew us, and we fell in love with him. He is our bridegroom and best friend, our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 119, 2 and 3. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. What a difference from the religions we looked into at the beginning of the book, attempting world peace from a human standpoint. It can never happen. Imagine mankind looking to educate themselves to eternal life over many reborn lives. Man struggles with trying to discipline himself to be purer and holier, to have good karma for the afterlife. Man cannot do it on his own. We are all born in sin and need a Savior. By his Spirit living in us, he burns all that is not supposed to be there and supernaturally replaces it with his very own character and life. It all seems so foolish to try to earn his love when all we need is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He does all the rest. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You are probably wondering what all this has to do with world peace. The baptism of fire is our earnest of the promise of world peace that is in the not-so-distant future. He fills us with the peace that passes all understanding, living within us every day of our victorious lives. The problems of the world are so far beneath us as our position now is seated in heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 7. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It is by grace we are saved and able to sit in glorious heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We did not deserve it and could not earn it ourselves. He did it all, and he will bring the new heaven and the new earth to pass as well. Every word of Scripture must be fulfilled. The majority of prophecies have already been supernaturally fulfilled, which should leave us no doubt he will fulfill the rest of his promise. Even though God does everything for us on our spiritual journey, positioning us in heavenly places with Christ, man always tries to help things along. God does not need or want our help, as it only hinders his work. Just give him your heart.